Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a former couple have been found guilty of murdering Robert Wilkin in Donegal. An 11-year-old girl has died after being hit by a car after getting off a school bus in County Derry. There have been calls for a link-up between the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block Grant Scheme and Community Mental Health Services, and the HSE is being urged to reactivate a forum for local representatives and parents of children with disabilities. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will be here with all the latest in sport at around 15:15, which will be followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. But first, a former couple have been found guilty of murdering Robert Wilkin in Donegal. Alan Vile of Drumanoo Killybegs and Nikita Burns of Carrick beat him to death with a rock before throwing his body off the cliffs at Sleeve Lake. Court's correspondent Frank Rainey reports.
In June 2023, Alan Vile, Nikita Burns and Robert Wilkin lived and worked together, and on the night in question they drank together in a number of local bars. For reasons unknown, as Mr. Wilkin was driving them home, they beat him across the head with a rock. It's also not known if the 66-year-old was dead or alive when Alan Vile drove them to the top of Sleeve Lake, where they threw his body into the waters below. Vile and Burns tried to cover up what they did by cleaning the car, albeit badly, and coming up with a story in case they were caught, which they were. In the end, the couple turned on one another, with each blaming the other for what happened. After deliberating for just over 8.5 hours, the jury decided, by a majority verdict, that they were both guilty of murdering Mr. Wilkin. They'll be handed mandatory life sentences tomorrow. Frank Rainey at the Central Criminal Court.
An 11-year-old girl has died after being hit by a car after getting off a school bus in County Derry. It happened yesterday afternoon on the Hillhead Road outside Castle Dawson. Police are investigating the collision, and the Education Authority says emotional support is being given to both students and staff. Tara Griffiths is in Castle Dawson.
The Hillhead Road is a long country road just outside the village as you come off the main motorway. Locals here told me they're shocked at the news today. Police say the incident happened just after four on Wednesday afternoon. They believe a number of people may have recorded video footage of the scene and urged them not to share it on social media, but to get in touch with them. The road was closed after the incident, but is open again today.
Local councillor Ian Milne says he's heartbroken for the family.
I believe it's the worst nightmare for any parent to hear that their child has been killed. And it's an awful, awful thing. And I just offer the support of this community here at this awful time.
There have been calls for a link-up between the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block Grant Scheme and Community Mental Health Services. Councillor Declan Meehan says the ramifications of the crises on those affected has been severe. He says the work being done by the Inishowen Development Partnership should be replicated across the county. He added that it is vital that all avenues are explored and not only the HSE.
Today in the Defective Concrete Blocks committee meeting at Donegal County Council, we had a deputation in from the Make a Action Group, and one of the main things that they had outlined was the, you know, negative impact that going through this scheme and living with defective blocks has on people's mental health. So I suppose put forward a proposal that we should be, as a committee, inviting other mental health service providers, including community providers of SAME and HSE, into the DCB committee meetings to discuss ways in which they can work together and work within the structures of the scheme and of the committee to provide better mental health support for people living with defective blocks.
You know, the issue not only just affects homeowners, but also children that may be affected that are living in these homes.
Absolutely. And we know that, mental health mental health provision in Donegal is not its best, particularly when it comes to children and young people. But it is an issue that affects them, absolutely. And we have seen some work in this area already. Inishowen Development Partnership with their partner organisations across Inishowen have done some work on this. And I believe that should be replicated across the county. And we should be taking people in who have the expertise in this area and into the committee setting in order to find a way forward in which that they can work with people and help them with mental health support.
The HSE is being urged to reactivate a forum for local representatives and parents of children with disabilities. The call has come from Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, who has received figures showing that 284 Donegal children with disabilities have been left waiting for their vital assessments that are crucial in securing the supports and services that they will need. He says successive governments have failed to get grips with this crisis and ensure that the necessary services with staff and buildings are in place across Donegal. Deputy McLaughlin says it's frustrating to be raising the same issues again and again.
Yeah, I just feel sometimes like I'm banging my head off a brick wall. I look around Donegal, people of all different political persuasions, and I don't know anybody who would not want to support children with disabilities and their families, yet they're failed again and again. You know, we look here, the latest is around assessments. These are vital. I mean, if you don't get the assessment, you can't get the supports, the therapies that you need. And then if you look at the whole area of getting those therapies, we have the highest vacancy rate in the country ongoing. You know, we're talking here about speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, roles that are vital to children with disabilities. We had a forum set up in late 2023. That forum has now been stood down by the HSE. I think it needs to be re-established urgently so we can start to put the pressure on government to get resources and get these positions filled and get these jobs done.
Firefighters in Donegal have warned that cuts to resources will have catastrophic consequences. A decision taken by senior management has resulted in fewer personnel and a second fire tender being removed. The Donegal Firefighters Association says Letterkenny Fire Station is operating at critically unsafe staffing levels. Its chair is Conor McGuigan. He says increased resources elsewhere have not been reflected in Donegal and they can secure an answer from senior management as to why that is.
We were aware of it since the initial strike actions. We were sort of looking for a better work-life balance going back 18 plus months ago, you know, and so we've just sort of been keeping on tabs on it since then, you know. But again, it's something that we didn't realise. We all assumed that we're all going to get an increase in crew levels and crew numbers, which has happened nationally. Nearly every station in the country has had an increase in crew levels, whereas this just Letterkenny, especially Letterkenny, we have just sort of been made aware, well, we've been reduced. So I was like, well, how does that work? So I don't know, we're just trying to get to the bottom of it, you know, but again, we're just being met with opposition, you know, and just sort of...
Is this a county-wide issue or specific to certain stations, Connor?
Ourselves in Buncrana, like, we're two pump stations, as in two fire tenders available at any one time, and we have both been downgraded to one pump, one crew available at any one time.
And the full statement from the Donegal Firefighters Association is available on our website highlandradio.com. There were severe traffic delays in Strabane this morning after a car crashed in the town centre. Police say they attended the scene of a one-vehicle road traffic collision in the Market Street area of Strabane shortly after 10:30. One person was taken to hospital for treatment. The Health Minister says she's been assured the new National Children's Hospital will open next year. Jennifer Carroll McNeill says she expects the hospital to open by the end of June 2026. The new facility has faced numerous delays since construction began almost 6 years ago, with costs amounting to almost €2.25 billion. Minister Carroll McNeill says she expects the new hospital to be fully open next summer.
I am assured by the builder that we will have the building at the end of June, and I received that assurance verbally when I was there last week with Minister Mike Nesbitt. So I am assured by BAM that we will have the hospital at the end of June, which is what they have committed to publicly in January. The hospital has very considerably advanced even since I was there last October.
The government is ruling out any future one-off energy credits. It says SSE Airtricity is increasing its prices from April and overall costs for households and businesses are much higher than 5 years ago. The credits were applied to bills automatically over the last couple of years and each issuing the cost the state around €400 million. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says the country needs to be weaned away from such payments.
I can't stand here in front of the House today and say that the level of payments that we've made available over the last number of years, that can become the norm. Those payments were made available at a time in which inflation was 5, 10, 15%, runs the risk of creating difficulty to our country, to our economy in the years ahead.
Social Justice Ireland have been opposed to the mechanism of universal energy credits for the last few years. Spokesperson Michelle Murphy says the government needs to target payments.
In the forthcoming budget, that they do need to look at those households, you know, who are in energy poverty and who are in arrears and in poverty, and look at how you put in long-term multifaceted supports for those households. So that means, the bottom line is, it means increasing core social welfare rates, extending the fuel allowance to households on the working family payment.
An announced HICWA inspection at a designated centre for adults with disabilities in Donegal has found it to be fully compliant. There were four residents at the Peter Bradley Centre in Lochnagan at the time of the inspection in December. The centre was found to be compliant with every regulation that was assessed. A Minister of State in the Department of Foreign Affairs has said the government is constantly reviewing calls for the development of a passport office in Northern Ireland. On today's 9 till noon show, Minister Neil Richmond told Greg Hughes that there are offices in Dublin and Cork with a long-time proposal on the books to develop a northwest office in Sligo. However, he said the priority of the government is to move as much activity as possible online, and that is currently the focus of the investment.
It's certainly something that is always under review. We have the main public passport office in Dublin, we have one in Cork as well, and there was discussions in relation to having one in Sligo. But I think what we instead are really looking to do, and will be more efficient, is moving, which we have done in the last 18 months, moving a lot more services online. So rather than having to go to the passport office, to be quite frank, Greg, we don't want anyone to ever have to need to go to the passport office. That's for emergencies. That's for the family member who perhaps is gravely ill and it's a rush to get there, or it's a medical thing. That's where we want to get it to. So we feel that we're constantly investing in online systems to make it as efficient as possible. I had a colleague living in Derry who applied for their passport last Thursday, landed in the post on Monday.
And in a show on councillors urging Donegal County Council to widely publicise maps showing the areas in the county which will potentially be subject to residential zoned land tax. RZLT has proved a controversial subject in Donegal over the past number of years. The tax is designed to ensure that developers are not hoarding land in a bid to drive up profits, but it emerged many farmers who intend to continue farming and have no wish to sell their land were potentially going to be hit because their land was being zoned as opportunity land. Councillor Albert Doherty says people have the right to appeal a designation they believe to be wrong, and the council must ensure members of the public can easily find and view the maps.
There's many in the farming community who want to have a certainty for themselves and their families in the future, and council have now told me that the various maps have been put up on their website, and I implored council to be positively active at keeping the communities aware of where these locations are, and of course about the final dates and the dates required for submissions to be made. I think that's very, very important.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after the short break. The time is 16 minutes past five. Mark is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with some good news on the local soccer front. ATU Donegal senior ladies team have won the CUFL O'Regan Cup after they defeated Queen's University by 5-2 in this afternoon's decider in Sligo. After Kerry Lawry opened the scoring for the ATU, 4 from Kiva Heron handed Breege McGinty's side the national title at McSharry Park. In the other big soccer game locally this afternoon, Carindonagh Community College were beaten 2-1 by Presentation Secondary School of Kilkenny in the FAI Schools Under-17 Junior Girls National Cup semi-final for large schools in Dundalk. Now moving on to some big news coming out of the world of Gaelic games this afternoon, and Donegal GAA earlier announced the appointment of Carol Lacey as County Performance Lead for their academy. With more, here's Highlands' Oisin Kelly.
Donegal GAA have announced the appointment of Carol Lacey as County Performance Lead to the academy. Carol will lead the delivery of the national strategy to improve the quality, coherence and consistency of player and coach development within Donegal, and will operate within the national approach to align both the Gaelic Games player and coach pathways. Earlier this week, it was confirmed that the 2012 All-Ireland winner was back in management and is taking up the role of the county's under-16 manager for the 2025 season. Lacey's link with Donegal previously, of course, included the head of academy development, which he held until early 2023, but he stepped down, citing a lack of support and differences with the then county board. He would subsequently take up a manager's position with the Kilku senior side, who were crowned Down champions, but then moved away at the end of the season following their exit from the Ulster Club Championship. But now, following his appointment as under-16 manager, Donegal GAA this afternoon have confirmed that Ciar Lacy is the county performance lead to the Donegal GAA Academy.
Back to soccer. Fenerbahce manager Jose Mourinho says Rangers fans still thank him for stopping Celtic from winning the 2003 UEFA Cup final when he was in charge at Porto. Mourinho will be trying to deny Rangers success this time around, with the Turkish club hosting the first leg of their Europa League last 16 tie this evening. The Portuguese man says he has a lot of admiration for both of the big Scottish clubs.
I have so many Scottish friends from both colours, the green and the blue. I'm really happy to play against a Scottish team. I'm very happy to go next week to Scotland and play Ibrox.
Ruben Amorim has defended his tactics, saying they are not the reason his team is struggling. The Manchester United manager has only had 10 wins in his first 24 matches in charge at Old Trafford. United travelled to play Real Sociedad in the Europa League last 16 tonight, and Amorim is adamant his approach to games isn't the issue.
I am still really confident because I have an idea how to play football. I will not change that, no matter what. I will not change that. And I'm not talking about the system. It's the way I see football. I will not change that. And we are going to do it. Or not, we'll see.
Elsewhere in the Europa League, Tottenham Hotspur take on Troy Parrott's AZ Alkmaar in Holland. And in the Conference League, Chelsea play Copenhagen in Denmark. All those clashes have a 5:45 start. Well, FIFA are reportedly thinking about expanding the 2030 World Cup to 64 teams. It's being considered as an option to mark the centenary of the competition. The 2030 edition will already be unique, with matches to be played across three different continents. Moving on to rugby, Ireland captain Caelan Doris is fit and named to start in Saturday's crucial Six Nations clash with France. Mac Hansen, Tadhg Furlong and Ronan Kelleher are unavailable due to injury. In all, interim head coach Simon Easterby has made four changes to the starting team from the win over Wales a fortnight ago. Peter O'Mahony starts at blindside, while Conor Murray and Cian Healy are on the bench for their Aviva Stadium farewell. But Easterby says the emotion of their impending retirements won't distract them from the task at hand this Saturday.
The mark of respect and the motivation, I think, is that they and the rest of the team want to finish this tournament on a high, and that's all they've ever thought about is the team and what's going to make us the best that we can be on Saturday, and not really about them.
Meanwhile, France head coach Fabien Galthié has included injury doubt Gregory Aldred at number 8. Antoine Dupont and Roman Ntamack are the halfback combination, while Thomas Ramos is in at full back. Les Blues have elected for a 7-1 split on the bench, as they did in their last match against Italy. In golf, Leona Maguire carded an opening round of 73 at the Blue Bay LPGA in China this morning. The Cavan native is 5 shots off the 3-way tie for the lead at 4 under par. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry are paired together on day one of the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. The 2018 champion McIlroy will set off on his opening round alongside the Offaly native at around 6 o'clock Irish time. In athletics, the European Athletics Indoor Championships get underway this evening in Apeldoorn in the Netherlands. Cahill Doyle will be the first of the Irish to get his campaign underway. He takes his place among the competitors for the 1500 metre heats shortly before 7 o'clock. Sarah Lavin will go on the 60 metre hurdles at around 7:45. And later, the 4x400 metre mixed relay could see the likes of Charlene Maudsley go up against home favourite Femke Ball. Donegal's Mark English runs the 800 metres heats on Friday, and Arlene Crossan is part of the women's 4x400 metre relay squad. In boxing, Katie Taylor will square off with Amanda Serrano in a trilogy bout at Madison Square Garden this July. The Bray boxer will once again defend her super lightweight titles against the Puerto Rican fighter, having most recently defeated her in a rematch in Texas last November. The bout will headline an all-female card in New York on July 11th. Finally, on the Score programme this evening after the 7 o'clock news, there will be more on the finals for them Donegal schools and colleges sides. Plus, we'll be looking ahead to the Interleague Cup final for the Donegal under-16 boys this weekend in Limerick. Declan Boyle will join us for our weekly League of Ireland chat, and Donal Sharkey will tell us what's expected at this weekend's LGFA Congress, which is being held at the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny. That's all coming up on the Score between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Kitty.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather. Some rain this evening, but it will become dry overnight. Low temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees. Areas of mist and fog will develop as winds become light and variable. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a former couple have been found guilty of murdering Robert Wilkin in Donegal. Alan Vial of Drumanu Killybegs and Nikita Burns of Carrick beat him to death with a rock before throwing his body off the cliffs at Slieve League. An 11-year-old girl has died after being hit by a car after getting off a school bus in County Derry. It happened yesterday afternoon on the Hillhead Road outside Castle Dawson. There have been calls for a link-up between the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block grant scheme and community mental health services. Councillor Declan Meehan says the ramifications of the crises on those affected has been severe. And the HSE is being urged to reactivate a forum for local representatives and parents of children with disabilities. The call has come from Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, who has received figures showing that 284 Donegal children with disabilities have been left waiting for their vital assessments that are crucial in securing the supports and services that they will need. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock. Up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, which will be followed by the obituary notices.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The IFA will hold a national meeting this evening in the Hudson Bay Hotel in Athlone to discuss policy threats to farming on peat soils. Now, this is a big issue for many Donegal farmers. In order to comply with the latest BIS, that's the Basic Income Support for Sustainability conditions, so-called reduced intensity farming proposals and nature restoration law requirements, there are now genuine concerns about the viability of farming on peat soils. The meeting will hear an update on the campaign as well for an immediate acres payment from national funds. And it's expected the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, will be there. Now, the GAA and an Irish company called Community Climate Change are actively seeking farmers, bog owners and other landowners to lease sites of up to 40 acres to build community solar farms across the country. These solar farms will be built and owned by local GAA clubs, along with other community members who will come together to form a renewable energy community. The land will be leased for 40 years, with the price paid to be determined by land valuers CBRE. Newton Cunningham-based farmer Stephen Robb is the renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been telling me more.
So, as we know, there's a bit of an explosion happening around the country as regards solar farms. So they're popping up in many counties, and there's quite a few very, very large ones going through the planning system at the moment. But these are all largely commercial. So it's a company or an international company in many cases are trying to develop these projects and covering hundreds upon hundreds of acres. But there is, I suppose, support available and a kind of a pathway available to develop community projects, so community solar farms at a much smaller scale. And a new company has formed to do just that alongside the GAA. So the company is called the Community Climate Change Company, CCC for short, and they've partnered with the GAA to essentially try to develop local, smaller scale, fully community owned solar farms. So the whole idea is that a particular GAA club would come together potentially with other members, other non-GAA members in the community, but I get the impression that it's largely centred around the GAA club, and they would form what's called a renewable energy company, which is a legal entity, and then they would try to secure a site off a farmer or off a bog owner or off a bit of wasteland and try and get a small-scale solar farm around 40 acres or so through the planning system, get it funded and get it operational. And all revenues from that solar farm and all profits from that solar farm would return to the members of the RAC, which would be the GAA club.
Well, it certainly sounds very interesting. So the Community Climate Change Company, how do they make money themselves? Obviously, they have to get something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I said, there is a pathway there for developing community energy projects through the SCEI. There's a toolbox there. There's supports available. If you can tick all the boxes and follow the process, there's upwards of 180,000 available to communities. But it's very, very difficult to navigate. Typically, what you find in community projects is that, you know, you have maybe one or two real drivers who are really clued into the whole process and passionate about it. But it's resulting in very few community projects being developed. So CCC have formed to pretty much streamline that whole process for the GEA club. So they'll deal with the SCEI, they'll deal with the planners, they'll deal with the planning process. They'll also work with funders, with the ESB for a grid connection, and with the utility provider who they're going to sell the electricity to. So essentially a kind of a one-stop service is what they're offering. And yeah, look, I would imagine there's a fee that comes along with that. But it's probably, you know, they'll probably be eligible under the 180,000 grant available from the SCEI. So there was an opening for a service like this in the market just because it's so difficult to get a renewable project up and going. And the government really wants to see community energy projects. In fact, they have a target for 500 megawatts of community energy projects by 2030. And without a service like this, and probably, you know, without partnering with someone like the GEA, which has, you know, a ready-made network of clubs and structures in place already, you know, we're probably not going to meet that target. So I think that now this is launched, there is quite a bit of interest in it. Not for everyone, and not every GEA club will be able to do this because there are certain criteria that has to be met. Quite an exciting time if it's something that a club is interested in doing.
You mentioned there maybe a 40-acre area. So by way of example, let's say there's a club in rural Donegal and there's some land, maybe poor quality, boggy sort of land that isn't really being put to much use at the moment. They could come together with the landowners, set up this deal. In terms of the reward, the annual revenue, what are we talking about? Could the club get a couple of hundred thousand a year out of it?
Well, I suppose all going well, and certainly in theory, in a way, that would be possible. A 40-acre solar farm could easily accommodate a 6-megawatt project. 6-megawatt project would probably cost in excess of $6 million or so to build, assuming they get planning obviously as well. But there is a government support scheme, as I mentioned, currently in operation. It's only relatively new, called the Small Scale Renewable Electricity Support Scheme. Really catchy name, but it's called SRES for short. So basically what that'll do is it'll give what they deem to be a premium price for 15 years to community solar farms, and sorry, community wind farms too, but it's mostly going to be solar. So they'll basically, if they can get through all the hurdles, they'll be guaranteed 14 cents per kilowatt hour for 15 years for what they export to the grid. And that could bring in revenues of, you know, six, maybe even more, 700,000 per year. So it's quite substantial. Obviously, there's a big cost to this, you know, and there's, you know, it's a huge project. There's no point in saying that it's not, but this is what the CCC are trying to make accessible and easy for communities and GAA clubs to do. So if all the boxes are ticked, it could potentially be a game changer for the club. But as I said, you know, not everyone's going to be able to do this. The site, for example, doesn't have to be beside the GAA club, but you're still looking for a site which you can get planning on, and also which you'll be able to connect to the grid. So whether that's next to a substation or a particular overhead line. So it really does limit the pool of locations where something like this might be able to be done. But also, you know, to bring it home to Donegal for ourselves up here, you know, the grid is the real issue. So it is. So I often get asked, would a solar farm work up here in Donegal? And yeah, technically it would. We're not as sunny as where the majority of them are being developed at the moment, but it's still doable. You'll still make a return, albeit just a little bit longer. But our challenge is just the grid. It's just really congested. There's huge levels of constraints, and there's no massive investment plan to really alleviate that constraint. Maybe a few battery projects here and there if they can get through the planning system. So like a lot of our wind farms in operation at the moment, they would literally have to shut off for times of the day or times of the year, whenever the grid is just overheated, so there's too much electricity in the grid. So the solar farm would be facing that as well. So I'm not saying it's not doable, but you know that level of constraint would have to be kind of built into the economic model of doing building a solar farm up here in Donegal. But certainly, you know, if there's any club interested, it's well worth having the conversation with the guys in CCC or even myself in the journal, because it would be great to see them, at least a handful of them going up in this part of the world.
And that was Stephen Robb, a renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, speaking to me there from his home in Newton Cunningham. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at farmingdonegal@gmail.com. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 6th of March. The death has occurred of Deirdre O'Donnell, Woking, Surrey, formerly of Lower Salahagrane, Letterkenny. Reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 3 o'clock until 5:30 tomorrow evening, with removal afterwards to St. Julian's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for reception prayers at 6. Reposing overnight for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass on Saturday, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by funeral and burial in Conwell Cemetery. Flowers welcome, donations in lieu if desired to King's Hospital, Denmark Hill, London, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has occurred of Eileen Barr, 20, Lark Hill, Steelstown Road, Derry, formerly of Avondale House, Tubin, Burnfoot. Eileen's remains will repose at the family home in Avondale House, Burnfoot, tomorrow from 12 noon. Removal from there on Sunday morning at 10:45, going to St. Mary's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11:30, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 12 noon. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Sean Murphy, funeral director. The death has taken place of Susan Curran, née Shields, Glen, Carrigart. Reposing at her late residence today until after the rosary at 9, and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until after the rosary at 9. Funeral from there on Saturday morning to the Church of St. John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. The death has occurred of Kathleen Holmes, Karen Amadi, Spinogue, Burt. Kathleen is reposing at her late residence until 10 o'clock tonight, with house private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St. Angus's Church, Burt, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, and afterwards to Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, for 4 o'clock service. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Richard Dick Collins, 53, Laurel Drive, Strabane, formerly of Main Street, Macroom, County Cork. Reposing at his home today. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has occurred of Gerry Donaghy in Bedford, England, formerly of Dlac Carndonna. His remains are reposing at the family home in Dlac Carndonna. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to Sacred Heart Church, Carndonna, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Gerry's funeral mass can be viewed live on Carndonna Parish, Derry Diocese, Ireland. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.